And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Welcome to another episode of the show. Big announcement first before we get into it. Starting next week, we are back. We've taken a little hiatus. Starting next week, we are starting recording again. So if you're listening to this and you have an artist or are an artist that want to be on the show, please reach out to us and we will get you scheduled. We are kicking off our, I don't want to say a revamp because we haven't revamped anything. We're just coming back. We have a great guest next week that we are going to announce probably tomorrow or Saturday. Great dude, awesome friend. Cannot wait for you to hear all about this guy. But first, we have Shelby Dahl and Rick Reese on the show today. It's a little bit of a different episode that we have for you here. And I guess that's the perfect way to end our little hiatus. Shelby Dahl, for those of you that don't know, is a former current, I'm not really sure, I would say current, burlesque dancer. She is absolutely incredible. She's got some music out with Rick. They've been on Forbes. They've been on all kinds of cool shit lately. Rick is a country music Hall of Fame member in Canada now. I might have gotten that wrong, but it's something along those lines. He announces it here. But yeah, super cool guys. I love these two. Shelby is the sweetest person in the world. She was actually one of only one person to send me a Valentine this year. So thank you, Shelby, for that. I will forever save that one, that's for sure. And Rick is just a great dude. Like, this is a great dual episode, but this is also an episode that could have easily been two different episodes, if you get what I'm saying. So again, guys, thank you for being here. Thanks for tuning in. A lot of fun with this one. Not something we typically normally do, but it was a great time. And that's all there is to that. So thank you to them. Thank you all for dealing with the hiatus over the last few weeks. If you've noticed on our socials, we have slowly started to post more and more every day. And we're going to just continue to do that because at this point, you know, my life's a shit show anyway, so fuck it, right? We just might as well keep going. And that's cool with me. So thank you all for the support and the love over the last few weeks. It means the world to me. This weekend, we have PBR, two shows of PBR, Saturday night, Worcester Rumble. Worcester, Massachusetts. We will be there Saturday night. We will also be there Sunday afternoon. It is a dualies this year over there. And then Sunday night, we're doing double trouble. We're going to make our way from Worcester over to Cambridge with our buddy CeCe, who also writes for us here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. We are going to go to see JD Clayton, who has been on this show, and our hopeful one of our next guests, hopefully, Tanner Usre, will be here in Cambridge. I cannot fucking wait. I have been, you know, I thought about not going to this show because of all the things I've got going on in my personal life. And Tanner's music is just literally fucking me up, literally on a daily basis. But you know what? Maybe I need to go. You know, maybe I need to just go get that good cry in. So if you see me there, no judgment if I'm blubbering like a goddamn baby. It just hits, man. It hits hard. So thank you again for everybody for being here. And stay tuned. We got some great content coming this weekend. Cannot wait. DCU Center, Sinclair in Cambridge. Going to be a great weekend. And that's really it, guys. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. And here is Shelby and Rick. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailsworcester.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. One second, turned you down, actually. can you hear me good?
I can, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, great. So how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. We actually, as soon as Rick joins us, eventually, we have some, like, really awesome news that we can announce. That's very fitting to your podcast demographic. Yeah.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, thanks for coming on and shooting the shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, you know that's what I'm good at, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I love it. You know, it's a different kind of show than we've ever done before, which is exciting. And I'm looking forward to your announcement.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really great. He just, we would have been able to reschedule for earlier, like you had asked, except that he had a bit of a dog emergency, and it was scheduled for a vet appointment right now, so.
That's all right. That's all good. It's all good. So tell me, where are you?
So I'm actually in New Brunswick, Canada. So.
Okay.
Here, the year, I'm a doctoral student here, and I teach courses at the university.
Oh shit! What do you get? What are you going for your doctorate in?
History.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I study like 19th century iron workers and iron work. So.
That's awesome.
Kind of a different subject, but I really love it.
That's great. You know, my I did my undergrad in U.S. history and politics, so I get it.
Yeah, awesome. There's nothing more interesting than America coming to age, we'll say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some would argue that it's still trying to get there.
Yep, that's definitely a common argument, and I completely disagree.
Yeah. So you're not Canadian?
No, I'm not Canadian. Rick is when he joins us. He's Canadian. He's from a really small town here, actually. But the small town he's from, has actually given birth to quite a few successful country musicians here in Canada.
Nice.
So he has a really interesting story about his relationship with music.
Oh, and, sweet.
Yes. So it's kind of neat.
So where are you from originally?
I'm originally from southern Maine, but I'm kind of from everywhere.
Okay.
I actually have spent most of my life at this point not in Maine, but all over the place. So I kind of, we'll say more of a gypsy. I'm not really from anywhere at this point.
So when you say southern Maine, are you saying like south of Portland or the Portland area?
South of Portland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So I lived in, I was born in Portland. But my parents, my mother's from Scarborough and my father is from Sanford.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, that's where we'll say my blood is from.
Gotcha. So what made you move all around the place?
When I was younger, we moved a lot because my father was a welder. And so we kind of traveled with that. As I grew older, I moved out of my parents' house just as I turned 16 years old. I emancipated my parents and moved out on my own. And ever since then, I've kind of been transient, but not in the way most people might assume with that story.
Sure.
I enlisted in the Army, and that brought me away. That brought me to Alabama. And then I ended up in Kansas, in the military base. And after that, I started working as a performer, and I immediately started touring. I was born to do it. And after that, I toured most weeks of the year for many years. And I just recently slowed down my touring schedule this past year, but that was mostly in part due to some health issues I was facing. And I was going to retire. But then I wasn't allowed to. They just inducted me to Hall of Fame this past October. And there just was a demand, we'll say, for one less go around, and that last tour that I'm taking for a reality series.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So it's kind of interesting. It's definitely not the typical story you'd expect for a Playboy model or showgirl to tell, but.
Yeah. So how did you get into the how did that come about? How did the Playboy thing come about?
I had done features and stuff with them before, so often you have Playboy USA and you have Playboy International, and Playboy USA kind of changed over the years, and you know, the ownership flip-flop hands. Playboy International will often scout girls from within our industry and from high-end modeling circles, and I just had such a big following and had done so much within our industry and been successful in a way that few artists in our industry are. You know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of women that are showgirls or burlesque artists, and there's a very small amount of us which are lucky enough to tour like a headlining band would tour.
Right.
A very, very small number. We're talking like there might be at any point in time really 20 of us making a full-time living touring like that.
Damn.
As far as feature show girl work.
Sure.
Anyway, it's kind of from all of that, and that buzz is sort of how that emerged. And then once I did it, a feature once, then the next step was that I was a Playmate pictorial, and then I was a centerfold, and then I was on the cover, and then I was on the cover again, and I was like, man, this is awesome. I love these guys.
That's awesome. You know, for me, you know, I remember when I turned 18, I became a subscriber to Playboy, and I had every issue, and I think I still have every issue from March of 2005 until I want to say like the first or second issue where they stopped doing nude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Some of the international editions still do, and some of them now are, you know, lingerie or topless. So it just kind of depends, like, which country it is and what their marketing demographic is. But the USA series has definitely taken quite a flip-flopping of content.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I remember, you know, when they decided to make that change, like, I thought for sure the business was going to go under altogether.
Well, now it's funny, too, because now their magazine, they just relaunched their magazine in the United States, and it is digital, which I think is, I mean, I love the Playboy brand, so please, Playboy gods, don't kill me, but I think it's a shame because I love print magazines. I think there's something about paper and it being in your hand. And I find that just a lot of the other thing for me that I don't like about the new branding for Playboy USA is that now that they're accepting all genders into their marketing and magazine,
right?
And as a bunny, and my thought on that has nothing to do with, we'll say, sex or any of those things. My thought on that is it was always awesome because Playboy was something that was, it was like exclusive to women to be a Playboy buddy or a Playboy centerfold for anybody who identified that way. And it was something that was ours. And right. in a world where when Playboy came out, that wasn't the case with everything. So part of the Playboy legacy for me is, like, from the time the first Playboy magazine came out, it was something that was women's, we'll say, achievement.
Right.
To have that. And the way they always portrayed women in the magazine was always elevated, right? Like, they didn't put women in there that had these stories of failure.
Right.
Right? So it was always strong, powerful, successful, beautiful women that were featured in the magazine. So for me, that's a little bit, I'm a progressive thinker, but for me, it's kind of just, upsetting. I like to be at a girl's thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you're absolutely right. The old joke was used to be what? That, you would get Playboy for the articles, right? And,
yes.
Honestly, that was some of the best journalism in the world.
Oh, totally. The articles, they had other articles in there, not just about the women, but I collect Playboys, and I just love that they always portrayed the women almost as like, it was like elevated. Playboy models, for me growing up, were the equivalent of like Greek goddesses, to people back then. It was like, man, that's the ideal woman. She's powerful, she's successful, she's smart, she's beautiful. And I never looked at it in a sexual way, but of course, I'm a cis woman, so I like guys. So I never looked at the women that way to begin with, but but I mean, for me, I find that a little bit discouraging that I'm all for inclusivity, but I think it was cool for women to have that to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you said, it was, it was always done in a very, tasteful and very, I think you're right, empowering way.
Oh, totally. It totally was. And I think there's a place for everybody. There's different strokes for different folks, but I think it's cool sometimes when, the legacy of something like that is kept intact,
right.
When it's not damaging to any, exterior social circles.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I wanted to ask because, I'm, I, being a 36-year-old man that still, sometimes acts like he's 12 or 13 years old.
Don't we all?
What exactly is the difference, when you say, excuse me if these terms are offensive in any way, but like, what's the difference between somebody that does, burlesque or, whatever that circle is and, strippers?
Okay. Yeah. So you have like strippers, and strippers would be like girls that go into work, they pay to work, so they're paying the club to be there, or they're receiving a very small minimal paycheck, like a waitress as a base pay, which mm-hmm. isn't the case to my knowledge throughout New England or Nashville. So, but they go on stage, they're typically in like lingerie or bikini, and their whole entire performance is about the nudity. So
okay.
they get nude very quickly. And so I'm not saying there's not an artistic element to it, but I'm saying it's a different kind of show, right?
Sure.
So what they're trying to sell is different. They're trying to sell someone into a back room so that they can increase their profit margin by selling lap dances, right?
Yeah.
So their kind of stage performance is about that secondary sale. With a burlesque artist.
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
They're not doing the same kind of sell because they're not selling backroom dances, right? So even if they're performing in an adult nightclub, we'll say as a feature dancer, so a club books a burlesque artist to come in, they're not obligated to do that, and they're receiving money to be there as a base pay. So that's not their, we'll say, their job or their intention and what it is that they're presenting. So their show is all theatrical. So the storytelling aspect of it is much thicker. The costuming, the props, everything, like they could take that show. I think the biggest difference is a burlesque artist can take a show from a cabaret, place it in your local theater with some pasties on, and it would be appropriate.
Okay.
Right? A stripper, you can't take a stripping show, remove it from a cabaret, and do that.
Right, right. Okay. All right. That's right. Fair. Now I get
that, it. That, to me, that is probably the easiest way to describe the difference in what it is that the shows are about. Now, showgirls are the girls today that tour, and we are like, either they come in from outside of the industry, so maybe they're an acrobat, maybe they're a burlesque artist, maybe... you know, maybe they were a stripper and became like the best in their, we'll say, designated areas, and then added more to their shows. But showgirls are like the NFL of like adult dance entertainment.
Really?
Right. So the showgirls are like, the showgirls are like the best of all of those spheres, and what they do is they come into like a club or a nightclub or a theater or wherever it is that they are going, and they're headlining it. So their show, so what at, us as showgirls, our show changes based on the demographic and the audience and where it is and what it is. So like where a burlesque artist show is very specific, and it's very specific to very certain kinds of venues. Same thing with a stripper. Showgirls are like, we're like chameleons. Our entire job is just to entertain whatever audience it is that we are being placed in front of in whatever barriers there are in that space.
Okay. All right.
So a lot of us that are showgirls perform mainstream and in adult entertainment, and our show kind of changes based on where we are and what it demands.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the best description I can give.
Yeah, no, that's super fascinating, because it's like, you know, I think for like the regular everyday person, you know, they probably don't know that, one, that there's a difference, or two, that, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it than, you know, what you think.
No, people definitely don't. And it's funny because even when I tour, like, so if somebody sees my show, like this weekend I'm performing in San Diego and Tijuana and Lemon Grove, and when someone sees my show there, right, and meets me there, that's their vision of all that I do. So even if I turn around, so then I'm turning around and I'm doing Tattoo Expo in a couple months in front of, like, children and families. Do you think that's the same show?
Yeah, I get it. Right? Yep.
So, I mean, we're professional athletes and models and entertainers, and so our skills sort of jump all over the place. And, you know, we make get on their feet. That's what we do.
That's what you, you know, that's the best, right? To get the crowd into it, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. Rick.
That's awesome. Hey, Rick.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for joining us today.
No, thanks for having us.
Oh, of course. We just got a good background of Shelby. So, if you wanted to jump in and kind of tell your story and who you are and, you know, what you do and why you do, you know, please feel free, and then we can get into the news that you have.
Yeah. Right on. Awesome. So I do the music side of things, and I'm not sure what she told you, but I can't keep up with her story. I can't keep up with her at all, actually. So,
no, you don't have any burlesque training, Rick, or anything like that?
No, not at all. No.
Damn.
I tried to fall once. I almost broke a leg. So. No, my background. I mean, I'm not sure where you're in Nashville, right?
No, I'm in Massachusetts.
Okay, right on. Well, you know all about cold weather then. We're calling from Northern New Brunswick, or I'm from Northern New Brunswick, but we're calling from New Brunswick. So yeah, that's my roots. I'm from New Brunswick, and I'm making a living playing country music in New Brunswick. So that's almost a rarity by itself.
Yeah, yeah. But from what Shelby was saying, you are Canadian.
I am.
Yeah. Now, what for you? You know, from seeing what you've seen, what is the difference? Biggest difference between Canadian country music and, you know, American country music?
Right now, probably American country music seems to be a little bit more commercialized, where I feel like Canadians a little more kind of grassroots.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
it's
funny.
It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. But, you know, I'm a bit of old school, a bit of throwback. So, you know, Waylon, Willie, you know, Travis Tritt, that kind of stuff. So I'm a little, my heart's a little more into the older stuff, but, you know, it's all good stuff. Music is music. I mean, I play country music, but I'm a Kiss fan. So, don't leave that fool you.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Did you get to see them on this last leg?
We did. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
That's awesome. The last time I saw Kiss was on the tour that they toured with Aerosmith. So that was forever ago.
Do you recall when?
Oh God, no. Nope. I don't. I was probably my senior year of high school, maybe.
Okay.
So that was, I mean, 2005-ish.
Yeah, all right. Just kind of gives us an idea.
Yeah.
I don't know Shelby told me, but she's a big Kiss fan too.
That's wild.
Huge. She's a huge Kiss fan.
We didn't even get into this.
Now we like Kiss due to the theatrics, right? Like we're not like, hey, they're the greatest, you know, musically talented band in the world, right? We know that's not true.
Not easy now.
you clearly don't know who you're talking to.
No, I know where you're going. Like, you know, musically, they're not going to mop the stage up with Rush, right? And another Canadian reference there, right? They're not going to mop the stage with Rush, but I mean, you know, if you do listen to the music, it's nice and easy, meat and potato rock and roll, and it's just catchy, it's anthem stuff, and.
Yeah,
and then the show. You can't deny the show.
It seems like they write music for the people.
Yeah.
Like, people can sing their songs, and, I mean, I can't sing at all. Rick is definitely the singer. But I feel like I can stand there all night at a Kiss concert, sing every lyric, and nobody around me looks at me strange. Because they're all doing the same thing.
Right, right. You know, and honest to God, like, I've seen them twice, and the stage show, this, you know, the spectacle of it is bigger, I think bigger and maybe better than anything else that's ever, you know, been out there.
Oh, it's in the first 30 seconds of the show, you think, okay, where are they going to go from there?
Right.
But, you know, it's just, wow. But here we are talking about a podcast promoting Kiss.
Right.
What are we doing here?
Right. Oh, well, this is how this show is. Like,
I love it.
There is no agenda. We could talk. We could literally talk about the weather for an hour, for all I can.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, to tie Kiss into what we were talking about earlier, you want to know the difference between, like, you know, what is the difference between stripping and showgirls? Showgirls are the Kiss of exotic dancing.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Okay. Okay. That's that's fair. That's totally, totally fair. Now I'm going to think of that every time I see Kiss. You know that, right?
You're welcome. Now you know why I like them.
Thanks. Thanks. That makes everything in perspective, that's for sure.
They're the show boys.
Okay. Yeah. God. Those are what? Four guys that I would never want to see naked. Never.
Right. Nope.
I'm glad I could provide that imagery for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. But yeah, so Rick, how long have you been in the country music realm?
You know, I grew up in rock and roll and switched over to country and discovered country in the 90s. Played in bands, country bands in the 90s and have always played, and then got knee-deep into it in the last 15 years when I quit my corporate job to pursue music full-time, based on a question that one of my former boss asked me. He said, if you could have your dream job, what would you do? And I said, I would be playing music. And then I immediately thought, that's probably not a good career move for me to tell my boss I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now with him. But I resigned, and it's been 15 years this July playing music full time, and it's been nothing but fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So how to get paid for your passion is kind of what I looked at. And being a Kiss fan, I kind of try to bring some of that stuff into country music just by default. So, you know, I do have the two red fire lights and the smoke machines and whatnot. and people like the show. And a lot of that was driven by Kiss, but a lot of that was derived from COVID. Nobody could leave their seat. Everybody had to sit on their hands and sit there with a mask, and they couldn't dance. So I thought, well, let's add to the show. Let's build them a show. Let's give them something to look at because they can't get off their seats. And it just took off from there.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So are you strictly just, you know, touring around Canada, or have you come into the States at all?
Come into the States a few times with the help and work with Shelby. She got us at a show in Chicago, and then we did, that led to something that she spearheaded in Vegas. We did that, so that was fun. And her and I did a one-off in Tampa. So, but, you know, just bordering Maine, I've done shows down in Maine a few times, but it just kind of gets harder and harder to do the one-offs going down there.
Yeah.
Going down, yeah. So all that paperwork for one or two shows just wasn't worth it. And luckily, my schedule always stays full in Canada. So less miles, more shows, economies of scale.
That's right. That's right. So then with Shelby, with your background, and Rick, with your background, how in the hell did the two of you come together?
It's funny you should ask. It has more to do with just being Kiss fans. absolutely, yeah. So I'll leave Shelby take the first part of that one.
Always me. I was telling him, you know, after we explained this, I was telling him about how interesting it is where you are from and the musicians that have come out of there.
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
I think that's where he was getting at with this first question to you. But yeah, no, we kind of, I guess, I ran a North American Showgirl Festival, and I was looking for an artist to come in and do the evening, we'll say, really get the drunk people rocking and rolling. And everybody I asked said, you need Rick Reese. So I finally bit the bullet and called whoever this Rick Reese guy was.
What do you mean bit the bullet? I thought it was a given.
I called whoever this Rick Reese guy was and booked him for the festival. And he was phenomenal, and everybody loved him. And the show and what they did. He came with one of the guys that he sometimes tours with, Gypsy Ron, who is has an awesome rock and roll voice. Like,
and it's his birthday
rocker
today.
Yeah, and it's his birthday today. but anyway, and they did such a great job. And so then it was quite a few years later, actually, COVID and all that stuff went down. And then afterwards, I had to book a band for the show in Chicago. And there was nobody I could think better than to call Rick Reese, because the show was going to be somewhere where we had a live performer, showgirls were going to be performing, you know, and it needed to be someone that could match their energy. And he is, and it was country themed. He's the only country artist that can do that I know and have seen. There's a lot of phenomenal, you know, artists in New Brunswick and in New England. been around everywhere, really, that I've been, but very rarely do you come across, especially a country artist, that produces the energy of a rock band. That's not common combination done the way that Rick has managed to pull it off. So, of course, being the rock star burlesque, what a better person to partner with than essentially the rock star of country music from Eastern Canada. And, you know, I'm the rock star burlesque, but my branding and everything has always been with a strong, heavy country, we'll call it, curve, because that is where I am from. And I grew up that way. And so I never forgot that, never let it go. And that is my demographic, strong demographic of followers. So when it came time to think about the tour and producing shows with a live musician, there really was no other option for me than this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from all accounts that I've seen, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think you nailed it with your choice of person to do things with. That's for sure.
Oh, without a doubt. And I think, you know, like the reviews from anything that we have done together have been really strong, because people were really skeptical at first. Like, this is such an odd match. You know, you've got this, like, wholesome country music star from Eastern Canada, and then you've got, you know, this Playboy model and showgirl that's known for kind of being an outlaw in my own industry, and we mix together, but it just works. And so I'm excited for more and more people to get a chance to see what that looks like. When you bring two talented artists together, you know, anything is possible.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. You know, the world is your oyster at that point.
The audience is. We take them all.
That's right. That's
we
right.
We have no survivors.
You can shove Kiss right off to the side at this point.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't think I want to.
I'll throw this funny story here, just kind of exemplify kind of what we do. And it was funny at the time. It still is. We were doing a show with Ricky Skaggs, and you're probably familiar with who Ricky Skaggs is.
Oh, yeah.
Country artist, bluegrass, right, you know, knee deep into the roots. So we were doing a show opening for Ricky Skaggs. So we did our set, and when we finished our set, I come backstage, and Ricky was there. And I said, oh, hi, Ricky, can I get an autograph? Could you sign the poster for my collection? We just finished the show. We just finished open for you. He goes, oh, heck, are you part of that rock band I just heard? No, I was supposed to be country, Ricky, but I see what you're saying.
That's awesome. Dude, where was that?
That was in Kansas, Nova Scotia.
Nice.
Yeah. Then another time in Woodstock, New Brunswick, I had a promoter call, said, we're bringing in the Scottish rock band Nazareth, and we would like you guys to open for them. And I thought, that's the strangest combination ever, right? He goes, no, it's a country rock show. You're country rock. So, yeah, country band open for Nazareth. So all of that kind of bleeds in a way. So, and, you know, everybody loves Nazareth.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then I had a review one time from an industry guy. He says, you got to see Rick Rees live. He reminds me of the Paul Stanley of country music. So, hey, being a Kiss fan, I'll take that. I'll take that reference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was an unsolicited comment. He goes, Rick Rees reminds me of the Paul Stanley of country music. So,
that's huge. That is huge.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's fun.
Yeah.
And Rick is very modest, so he's not telling you how successful and amazing he is either. You have to take it out of him. He's very humble.
That's what makes him as successful as he is.
That's right.
You know something? I always say, we're not saving babies. We're playing music.
I mean, that's also true.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know, the whole ego that goes along with the, you know, part of the industry, I don't get that part. So, and I, you know, I met some really, really cool people, and one of them was the bass player for Alabama, and he got off the bus and he was looking for a cigarette, and I said, I don't smoke, but I'll find you a cigarette. And I sat with him for 45 minutes, and I said to him, I don't want to fanboy you, but man, it's pretty cool. I'm talking to the bass player from Alabama. You're one of the front guys. You guys are country band of the decade. And he looks at me and he says, you know something, We're a bunch of hillbillies. We wrote a few songs, and we got lucky. And how can you not respect somebody who gives you that kind of answer?
That's true. That's
right?
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I, you know, through doing this, I love talking to the people that are, you know, just like that, where it's like, yeah, I this is what I do, and that's, it's not, you know, like you said, it's not saving babies, you know, they're just for right place, right time kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, so when you put it that way, that garnered a lot of respect, and, you know, more than I already had for them, so when you talk like that, but there are other times where I met some very big celebrities who, you know, wouldn't give me the time of day. So, and I finished opening the show for them. You know, they tell me wait in the back of the line for the autograph.
Yeah.
But some of them are also on the Where Are They Now list.
Right. Right. Yeah. I could rattle off some of those names as well. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, and it's. It's funny, you know, from this side of it, right? You would think that, like, you know, some people I've run into or want to, you know, talk to, you know, you would think that, you know, if they have something coming out or they're doing something, they would want to, like, get as much press for it as possible. And it's like, some of them are like, nope. It's like, okay, man, like, all you, you know?
Yeah, all you.
That's hilarious.
Go around.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now that we've gotten a little bit of a, you know, a foundation here, so what's this news?
We have all kinds of news. The last week's been crazy.
And
I'll leave. You can come off with that one. You start with, that was your project, so you got me into that. That's your baby there. You tell them about that one.
What, that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first, we're going to be doing, like, our full, we'll call it Vegas-style production of the Maritime Kitchen Party show, which is, like, a really special show that we are working hard to produce together. That sort of, like, embodies what it is to be a Maritimer as far as, like, musical today in Eastern Canada. So it's a mix of, like, Eastern Canadian music with, like, some country covers, a bunch of Rick's original music. And then we're bringing in two other showgirls and a local opening band. And that's going to debut at the Fredericton Tattoo Expo on April 26th. So it will be a really fun experience for the people here in Eastern Canada because that show will be something that they often don't get here. So we'll be bringing the same show that we're looking to bring to Vegas here to Eastern Canada.
The parts that we already did in the Las Vegas show in October.
Yeah, and some stuff that we already did in the Las Vegas show. And what's cool is that the guys that were with us in Vegas are returning for this show. So that's like Jason Arsenault, who's awesome. Like, he's a phenomenal drummer.
Sure.
Great guy. Like, incredible musician. Gypsy Ron, who we talked about earlier, who's been around forever and has been acknowledged in Canada for his singing abilities and his 80s rock sound. And then, like, Jock Downs, who is just awesome.
I think he has 12 fingers on each hand.
Now we got to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint, our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com.
I've never seen a guitarist play like Jock in the sense that it's like him and the guitar are not separate. They are completely together. There is no separation. And then we've got Miss Galaxy out of Louisiana and Shaw Guerrero, who is from Eddie Guerrero, the wrestling dynasty, and that whole family. So it's going to be awesome. But then in another week or so, there's the Caribbean Goes Country, which Rick and Gypsy Ron are playing that in Cuba. as like a fundraising event. And then most recently, Rick's song Old Black Train was just nominated for a World Entertainment Award. So all of this stuff is all happening at once, but it's built up to this one big thing, which I'll let Rick announce because it's a big deal for him.
And did you mention the Forbes?
Yeah, and we were just on the cover of Forbes.
Forbes.
That's wild.
Forbes is wild to me because, I mean, my previous background, my previous life is business, and so is Shelby's. So then it kind of validates what we're doing. Like, you know, Mom, I'm not just a dumb guitar player, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was very, very cool to get that one. That was just last 2 weeks ago. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I got a call this morning, 7:15 a.m., Nashville phone number, and I'm like, who was calling me at 7:15 from Nashville? And it's a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, musician from northern New Brunswick, who relocated and is doing very well in Nashville, and she has her own residency show at the Nashville Nightlife Theater, and her name is Brenda Best. And I grew up playing music because of Brenda and her siblings. So Brenda called me because she wanted to announce, as she is a inductee and member of the New Brunswick Country Music Hall of Fame, she wanted to call me personally and give me the firsthand news that this morning I've been inducted in the New Brunswick Country Music Hall of Fame.
Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. So every time I want you on the phone, so it's been a good 2024. So
yeah.
No complaints, and it's that 15-year overnight success, you know?
That's right. That's right.
And not counting the 25 years prior to that.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it's cool. So she, as being the first person who nominated me, because as an inductee, she's allowed to nominate fellow musicians, so she nominated me. And a slew of others, but as being the first person who put the nomination in, she was able to give me the news. And once she did, then the president of the association called me and, you know, make it a formal, make it official, saying, you know, I hereby do declare da 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 kind of stuff. Do you accept? And I thought, well, call me back in half an hour. I'll think about it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so that's been pretty cool. So that's how the day started today. Then I knew we had to call in this afternoon with you, so it all kind of lined up nice. Yeah, things have been good.
That's awesome. Now, is there like a formal ceremony for that, or is it just
No, formal ceremony. That's happening in Fredericton, New Brunswick in October. And I think they choose October because things kind of settle down for all musicians and the touring schedule slows down a bit. So October 19th in Fredericton, New Brunswick, the official gala and the whole kickoff is going to be there. So the premiere of New Brunswick and all that fun stuff. We'll be there.
That's awesome, Rick. Congratulations, yep. Man.
Thanks, pal.
That's badass, brother.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that is super cool.
So wow. it means one of two things. It means it validates what you've been doing all these years, or it means you're kind of getting old and it's time to retire.
Yeah.
That's exactly
all
what I
said. Just sounds old.
Yep. That's what I text Rick. I was like, now you're old like me, because my comment when they wanted to induct me to Hall of Fame this fall was, man, I feel so old.
Well, no, I mean, you think about it, right? You think about like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? They induct people all the time and that are still touring and putting out albums and all that stuff. So you're fine. You're good.
I'm joking when I it was, and there are some colleagues that are a little younger than myself as well, and you know there's some that are more seasoned than myself, so we're kind of in the middle of the road. But it was nice of them to recognize what I do. I do 150 to 180 shows a year, you know, airplanes, hotels, airports, snowstorms, loading vans. You know, they call me the hardest working musician in Eastern Canada. I label myself as probably the craziest musician to do what I do, but it just validates what I've been doing, and it's you know, for them to recognize that, and they said, you know, I don't have to wait till I'm 80 years old to be inducted. They say I'm a good ambassador because I'm out there kind of spreading the gospel of New Brunswick country music, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very cool. So
that is super cool.
So there's myself and four other inductees this year, and some really highly regarded musicians. And you know, Jason Berry for one. If you look, Google that guy's name. He tours with everybody in Canada, and he produces everybody in Canada. He's just an all-around great guy, great musician. And he's touring now with a country artist by the name of Dean Brody, and to be inducted with him. I mean, he's the kind of guy when he walks in the room, I put my guitar back in the case, you know?
You know, it's funny you mentioned Dean Brody because, like, you know, the people here in the States don't, I don't think they realize the powerhouse and the magnitude that Dean Brody is in Canada. Oh,
what a songwriter.
Oh, my God.
Just alone, yeah. And good for you, knowing who he is.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. You know, Dean Brody is one of those people that I would love to get on this show.
Yeah.
But it's been hard because of how popular he is there.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to, you know, nail him down for a half an hour or 45 minutes to, you know, to try to get some of his story out of him.
Hey, you know something? No promise, but let me see if I can make that connection for you.
Oh, that would be...
His guitar player, Jason, you know, he's inducted as well with me this year, and he lives kind of basically up the street from me, so good connection there.
I would die. I would die, Rick. I might even shut the whole show down and just be like, "Well, I don't need to do anything else."
Yeah. And Dean's now living in Nova Scotia. I mean, he's from BC or out West Vancouver way, but he now lives in Nova Scotia. So he's just a good guy. Let me make that call.
I mean, and that's you know, for us, that's only a 12-hour drive. No big deal.
Right.
You know.
That's it. Yeah, he might want to do it on his front step. He's that kind of guy.
Right. So what else do you guys got coming up? Anything in particular for this year that you wanna talk about and get out there to the masses?
There's just so much stuff.
Just
like
snowballing.
This started as a really crazy idea, and I wasn't sure how people were gonna take to, and then it just is like everybody wants a piece of it. So
fun.
It's so fun, and it's so exciting, and there's just, I mean, people can watch our Instagrams and our websites to kind of keep up with the tour schedule or kind of what's going on as we post, especially the collaborative stuff we post on there. But I think, like, really the next thing is the Cuba trip that they're performing at, and then, of course, we've got that big tattoo expo show in April, and then a lot of little things kind of in between here and there.
And then my regular show schedule.
And then his regular show schedule and my regular show schedule. So between our individual solo dates and then the collaborative dates, it's going to be a long year.
That's awesome.
But it's an exciting one.
And I love the question. I love the question when people say, Rick, what do you do in your spare time?
What spare time?
Yeah, I don't think there. I don't really. I know people don't really understand what it's like for a touring artist of any kind.
They have no idea.
They have no clue. I mean, we're up, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning. We're not in bed till, well, I'll text Rick at like 3 a.m. and be like, hey, are you still awake?
I got a question. I need this done right away.
Yeah, I got a question. I need this done right away. Whenever you get on stage and everybody is so excited and it puts a smile on people's faces, it makes it worth it every time.
Yeah. You know, you guys are killing it. You know, I've been watching your socials and your websites and all that. And I'm not going to lie to you, Shelby. I've looked high and low for your Playboy covers. I cannot seem to find them to get them shipped to me. Because, hey, listen, guys, I'm a guy. I'm a guy, all right?
I will send you some. I know there's some on eBay. That's often where people end up finding them.
Oh, I'm sure. you know, it's been a huge honor to have you guys on. You know, I'll never forget, Shelby, when you followed our Instagram account and, like, liked a few things. I was like, well, I've made it because a Playboy cover model has liked my shit. So
You're good.
You know. That's as a kid that grew up in the, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s, that's how I know I have made it in life.
That's right.
happy I could fulfill that for you.
Yeah, you have no idea. You have no idea. You know, I sent it to my wife, and she's like, "Oh God, you know, we'll never hear the end of this now."
You'll never guess who clicked my.
That's right.
Did you screenshot it and show all your friends?
I'm gonna. I can
unfollow and refollow you, so you can do that.
Yeah, hell yeah. You guys are awesome. I'm super excited to, you know, see what you guys do, and hopefully we can, you know, hopefully you get out our way a little bit, you know, one of these days, and we'll hang out. And now before we go, I keep saying to my guests, I'm going to stop asking this question, but I feel like I can't. Because we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, do you guys have boots and whiskeys of choice?
I've got boots of choice. I like a good, nice corral boot myself.
I just bought a brand new set of corrals when I was
I got Rick into a pair.
Yeah, that's right. She pointed them out picked them up in Vegas.
Nice. Yeah, I love a good pair of corral boots. You know why? Because they break in so good, and then they're like a pair of sneakers.
That's awesome. That's the way it should be.
I mean, an old set of Boulets. That's probably a Canadian brand, I think, yeah.
And then whiskey. I don't drink.
Neither do I.
And neither does Rick.
No?
But I take a good shot of chocolate milk anytime, buddy.
Yeah. Right. Chocolate milk, orange juice all over it.
Hey, that's fine. I'm just so glad you didn't say Crown, because I would have hung up the phone.
And I know you're not going to change the name of the show to Boots and Chocolate Milk.
No, but you know, it's so funny, Rick. Like this past year, I can't tell you how many guests I've had that are like, "I just don't drink anymore," and it's like, "Shit."
Yeah.
okay, all right. Well, then I'll drink for you. Then that's fine.
Right.
But you let me know how that goes.
Oh God, I'd be blacked out. You'd be carrying me from my office to my, you know. But Well, guys, thank you again so much. This has been a blast.
This has been an absolute blast.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, Rick, if you guys want to come back when, you know, the Hall of Fame induction and all that happens and you want to tell that story, we'd be more than happy to have you.
That would be cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Keep in touch, guys. And, you know, this will be out in the next couple of weeks. So I'm looking forward to everybody hearing it and following you guys along your journey.
That's cool. Awesome. We appreciate that. That's awesome.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for changing your schedules for me. I appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
Oh, we appreciate you, bud.
Oh, anytime.
See you later.
Thanks, bye, man. Guys.
Bye-bye.
Well, what do you think of that? If you didn't enjoy that episode and that conversation, there's something wrong with you. There's a lot of things we learned. We learned about burlesque. We learned about strippers. We learned about Canadian country music. Wow. That's like a, like I giggle because it's like, not because it's bad or funny or not serious, because it all is, but it's such a, all those things are not really what we've ever done. You know, we've had some Canadian country artists on here, right? But you know, Rick is the powerhouse, man. He is the OG. And then Shelby, you know, what a career. Playboy, playmate, fucking unbelievable. Like, absolutely gorgeous young lady. Super smart, super intelligent. And damn, I love her. I love her. I love him. They're the best. They're some really good friends of mine now, and I can't thank them enough for it. That's it. So like I said, stay tuned this weekend. PBR all weekend. Tanner Usray, Sunday night with JD Clayton. I am so excited to meet JD. I've been a huge fan of his for years. He's hooking us up. We can't fucking thank him enough. Love that, dude. And that's it, guys. So thank you so much. Stay tuned. We're going to announce our first guest back tomorrow, Saturday. I don't know, sometime in the near future. It's a good one. It's a real good one. And that's it. That's it. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. Let's rock and roll. Have a great weekend, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as you could tell, if you've never been here before, all of our episodes are all about real people, real stories, real country. This is real fucking country right here, guys. Check us out on all of our socials at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. We have
Next week, we have also, next week, we also have a review of Norther, Shane Smith and the Saints' latest album coming out. We've been rocking out to that for the last few weeks. All of my favorite artists are putting out albums that just make me cry like a fucking baby. So thanks a lot to everybody. And we'll see you over the weekend. And then we'll see you on Tuesday. So thank you guys again. Keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Love one another. Cheers.